This morning, as we turn to God's Word, I got to say that I'm indebted to a guy named Delman for his work here, which leads the way for what you're going to hear this morning. And as we read Genesis 48, Jacob is near the end of his life. And what I hope that you'll hear is that as Jacob went through twists and turns, through valleys and mountaintop experience, one thing he could echo through all of his life was this, is that God was faithful. Hear God's word from Genesis chapter 48. Sometime later, Joseph was told, "Your father is ill." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to you," Israel rallied his strength and sat up on his bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me. And he said to me, 'I'm going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give you this land as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you.' Now then, your two sons born to you in Egypt, before I came to you here, will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Any children born to you after them will be yours. In the territory they inherit, they will be reckoned under the names of their brothers. As I was returning from Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan, while we were still on the way, a little distance from Ephraim. So I buried her there beside the road of Ephrah, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, 'Who are these?' 'They are the sons of God, or the sons God has given to me here,' Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, 'Bring them to me so I may bless them.' Now Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed him and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, 'I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too.' Then Joseph removed from them Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger. And crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all of my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth.' When Joseph saw this, his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand and moved it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, 'No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head.' But his father refused and said, 'I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations.' He blessed them that day and said, 'In your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh.' So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, 'I'm about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. And to you, I give one more right to the land of your brothers, the ridge I took from the mountain of the Amorites with my sword and my bow. When you take an adventure, what guides you? I remember when I was young and we would go somewhere, it would not be uncommon for my parents to go to the grocery store or the gas station and pick up an atlas map. Or if we were going somewhere else, we would go to CAA and we would get one of those folding maps that never seem to fold up right when you're done. Or a little later on, we would go and get a triptych, which would tell you what your starting point was and what your end point was and where the gas stations were, where the stops were in between. Anyone remember those days? I mean, those were the good old days, right? I mean, now you go in and you plug in your GPS or you go to Google Maps and it will tell you where to start and where to end. And then just this week, I heard about this amazing app. Now, I'm probably 5 years behind the trend, but it's something called Waze, W-A-Z-E, ever heard of that? And it has virtual real-time interaction. So you're driving, it'll tell you how long and what the best route for you to take is. But somebody can, up to the minute, put in things like, there's a cop car over here, there's an accident over here. And immediately it will update you and give you a new way to go should you choose to change direction. I mean, that is so cool. I mean, but Google Maps, my GPS, or Waze can only get me to the end destination when it knows where I'm going. If only they could guide me in 2017. Wouldn't that be perfect? I mean, if you knew everything that was going to happen in 2017, and you could plug it into a little device, and it would get you there. You could avoid all the hardships. You could avoid all the stagnant moments, all of the heartbreak, and still get to where you're going. That would be incredible. But it's just not going to happen. Because life is unpredictable. Who would have predicted this week that Carrie Fisher would have died? And that next day, they're now saying probably by heartbreak, her mom, Debbie Reynolds, dies. In the same newspaper, they say peace treaty brokered by Russia and Iran to the inner conflict within Syria. Who would have figured? Now into 2017, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, today is the first and exciting day that you and I get to experience the effects of something called the carbon tax. Who knows? But we also get to experience something that we've never experienced before. A person like Donald Trump becoming the president of the United States. Now, Waze and GPS and Atlas and CAA can't get me through life. But there's one thing that I hope that you've seen in 2016 that you'll see in 2017, and it's this, is that God is faithful. Here's Jacob. Jacob is at the end of his life. By the end of his life, Jacob is a miserable old man. And he begins to look at his life, and here's what he sees. His brother Esau tries to kill him, so he flees to his uncle Laban. He has an encounter with an angel. Uncle Laban tricks him into marrying Leah instead of Rachel. His flocks increase by great numbers. He has to leave his uncle Laban. He wrestles with God. He restores his relationship with his brother Esau. His daughter is raped. His sons attack the men of Shechem. His favorite wife, Rachel, dies during childbirth. Famine struck the land. And yet here is Jacob at the end of his life, just like we have just ended a year, and he says this, God is faithful. Jacob would tell you that. Even though his life wasn't like this, it probably went more like this. Jacob could tell you that God was always there even when he didn't see it. and that God was faithful. How has God been faithful to us? I'm going to ask a simple question that I'm hoping some of you will concisely and loudly share. What are some of the blessings that God has given to us in 2016? I'll start. We're excited that our youngest daughter made profession of faith this past year. What a great blessing. Anyone else? Good health? That's something to treasure for sure. Ruth was just saying about having her whole family here on Christmas Eve. Meredith, you were saying? That's awesome. It's wonderful to see when our kids get engaged in a Christian community and can grow and build there. Anyone else? Yeah. Hmm. Angela's thankful for Ruth, who's a faithful friend, not only to her, but to many people. Yeah. You know, we look at our lives and we don't always see it, but God is faithful. And I look at our life as Community Church, and in this past year, 5 young people made profession of faith. 50% of our boys club and our GEMS girls group are kids from outside of this community of faith. I mean, what an opportunity we have. 7 young people have signed up to go on serve this coming year. 20 to 25 people come on average to our community closet. God is good. If you were here for our Christmas Eve service, it was awesome. And there were twice as many, if not more, guests than there were members of our congregation. And so many had come into this church probably for the very first time or had been here but not had been here for years, and God was good. Could you say that with me for your life this year, that God was good? Let's say it together. God was good. And if God was good, God is good. So let's say that together again. God is good. Here's what he says. That's Jacob. Or God says to Jacob, I am with you. That's in chapter 28. In chapter 31, he says, I will be with you. In chapter 31, again, he says, God has been with me. And in chapter 48, he says, God will be with you. But I suspect, as you walk through 2016, now walking through part of 2017, like Jacob, I suspect that we get sidetracked. Life gets busy. Maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's work, maybe we get so busy in the life of the church. Maybe we've had so many valley moments in life that we don't begin to see the story of how God has been at work. And here is Jacob at the end of his life, and he's beginning to look at it, and here's what is going on in his life as well. See, he got sidetracked by it all being about him. In chapter 25, he took advantage of his brother. In chapter 27, he deceives his father. In chapter 30, he steals from his uncle Laban. In chapter 32, he tries to appease his brother. In chapter 34, he's more concerned himself than about his daughter. And in chapter 37, he makes Joseph his favorite. People look at Jacob's life. And yet, in the midst of the valley, in the brokenness, and in the midst of the detours in his life, God was faithful. And here's what God says. God Almighty appeared to him at Luz, in the land of Canaan. And there he blessed me So picture this. He's so sidetracked from God, and yet God says, I'm going to take care of you. I am going to make you fruitful and increase in number. I'm going to make you a community of people, and I'm going to give you an everlasting possession. So here he is. I'm going to make you a great people. Right now, Jacob and his family probably are about 60 to 70 in number. But remember, there's going to be a blessing on Ephraim and Manasseh. And they said he's going to make them a nation. Or in fact, he uses the word nations. In fact, he's going to grow the lineage of Jacob to be astronomical in number. And although they are only a few, God was faithful. I'm going to make you a community of peoples. That has the idea of being marked by love and a fellowship. It's a picture of the church, isn't it? I mean, what would it look like for a community Christian Reformed Church to very strategically say in 2017, we are going to be a place where people walk in the door and they would say, this is my family. That in 2017, Community Church would be, in everything we do and say, be a place where people feel as though they belong. And that this is their family, and they can't wait to be a part of us. How deep can Community Church go in 2017? I'm going to make you a community of peoples. And then he says, I'm going to give you an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants. And then he backs it up by telling a story of how he has been influenced in the past in three different ways. He talks about the God of his forefathers, of Abraham and of Isaac. And he begins to say, the God of my forefathers had led me. Remember, Jacob before this point was a shepherd. And one can't help but think about the 23rd Psalm, which is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want, right? And we probably know the rest. But a shepherd leads, and it feeds, and it protects. How has God watched over your life in 2017 or 16? How has he fed you? How has he protected you? How has he led your life? Because then he goes on and he talks about the angel that protected him. One has to think about the relationship with him and Laban where he had to flee. One would have to think about the relationship with him and Esau where he had to take off again. One would have to think about him and the conflict with his neighbors. And yet he says, yet in spite of all of this, God protected me. God is showing up. What are the ways in which God has protected your life in 2016? And then he says there's an angel that protected him from all harm. He has in mind that conflict that happened at the Jabbok River, and where God watched over his life, God spared his life, and he began to realize that God had his hand on him all of the time, and yet Jacob just hadn't seen it. Which points us to Jesus. I talked about how Jesus has come, and he has died for you and I. We're going to celebrate that in a few moments. And he has lavished his grace upon us. So Jacob's at the end of his life. We're at the cusp of a new year. As Jacob surveyed his life, as you and I surveyed 2016, how would we review it? Here's what one list I came up with that a number of pastors had put their top sharings that people from their congregation had shared with them. And here's what they came up with. That as people look back at the end of 2016, they wish they had the courage to be who God wanted them to be, not who the world wanted them to be. People in their church said that they wouldn't have worked so hard. That they would have told their family how much they loved them. They would have made more time for their friends, and they would have shared their faith a little more. So how do we make 2016 a little different? Relevant magazine shared these top desires by many people within the church, and here's what they came up with. 2017 is going to be a year where I'm not going to complain as much. I'm not going to worry as much. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to listen to more diverse music to expand my understanding. I'm going to cut others more slack. I'm going to cut myself some more slack. I'm going to read more. I'm going to challenge my own presuppositions about other people. I'm going to spend less time on my phone. That's a good one. I'm going to spend less time on my phone. I'm going to eat more with people I care about. And I'm going to trust God more. See, Jacob comes to that place at the end of his life. He would echo not only the faith of God in the past, but for the future. As I think about that, don't you? I go to Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, you read these words, by faith, by faith, by faith. That whole chapter of faith, the heroes of the Bible, is all about faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And now the story is about to wrap up. And Jacob is there with Ephraim and with Manasseh. But notice what happens. What has happened for four generations in this family. The younger gets the blessing of God over the older. Isaac and Ishmael. Jacob and Esau, Joseph over Reuben, Ephraim over Manasseh. And I tell you that because I think it reveals to us something about God's sovereignty, about God being in control, about God's plans not being our plans. And yet, as God reveals his plan, which is so different than ours, we always get to where he wants us to be. It's just not in the way that we think or the way that we assume. Faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Faith. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. I don't know what 2017 is going to be like. Israel didn't know everything that God had in store for them. You see, they were waiting, as are we, for God to restore all things and make all things new, to make all things as he intended in the very beginning before we fell into sin. And as we wait, he'll get us there. He simply asks you and I this morning, will we live by faith in 2017? Will we trust God when the roadmap isn't very clear? When it seems to be a snowstorm on the way to where we're going? Will we hold on when it just doesn't make any sense? Faith recognizes that God's ways aren't our ways. It took Jacob all of his life to learn that. And so for you and I in 2017, let's hold to that long view of life. That God has it all figured out. He simply wants us to join him for the ride and to trust him and to follow and to rest in the fact that he loves us more than we could ever imagine. People of God, God was faithful. God is faithful. God will always be faithful. Let's rest in his abundant goodness and his abundant grace. Let's pray. We don't always see it, God. We don't always see how you're leading and you're guiding. Especially when there are moments in our lives that just don't make any sense. And Lord, in those moments, we need the faith just to hold on. But we thank you that you have your grip on us so tightly that you will not let us go. And Lord, we pray that in those moments we would not only hold on, but we would ask the hard questions. And we'd ask the hard questions and we'd ask the hard questions. But Lord, we thank you for moments where your faithfulness and your abundance is so abundantly clear. Like children finding a church home. Like good friends. To being able to have our children with us at Christmas. To hearing young people profess their faith. For birthdays. For upcoming weddings. For the ability to be here this morning. And to wake up and to see that you have been faithful by awaking us for a new day. Lord, we are a blessed people. May 2017, God, be a year where we just can't wait, we just can't help but point out all of your blessings in our lives. We can't wait to celebrate, to tell the story of God to anyone who will listen. And so again, as we begin a new year, we surrender ourselves. We surrender community, church, and all of its ministry to you. And we just pray that you would lead us, Lord. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to what it is that you're saying to us. That we would follow. Knowing that there is an endpoint of eternity at stake. And that by your grace, we would follow. And we would rest in the one who loves us so much that he died for us on the cross. That we may not only have the assurance of eternal life, but that we could experience abundant life already now. By grace, through faith. In your name we pray. Amen.